presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
X4 calling control tower. The X4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to the X4. Wind southeast. Sailing 1200. All clear.
Okay. This is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, gang, are you studying aviation now? If you are, do you abide by all the safety rules and regulations? Well, here's some important information all of you should know. The Civil Aeronautics Board has a booklet called Students Don't Fly Passengers. Well, now, some of you will wonder why there should be a need for such a booklet, but just let me give you a few facts. In just 1 year, there were 104 accidents in which student pilots carrying passengers were to blame. Of these 104 accidents, 30 resulted in the deaths of student pilots and 29 in passenger fatalities. Strange as it may seem to some of you, every CAB regulation published has a good reason behind it. As you look through the reports of pilot license revocations, it seems as though every other one was for some rule-breaking student carrying a passenger. Oh yes, fellows and girls, these students do get caught, and often too. If not by the little old man with the beard and scythe, then by the man with a CAA card in his pocket. And if the CAA representative finds you're violating the regulation, a student shall not pilot an aircraft carrying a passenger, and shall not pilot aircraft for hire or reward, or in furtherance of a business, it can go mighty hard with you. In fact, $1,000 worth, plus a possible jail sentence under a civil suit if damages result, and certainly the loss of your student ticket. Well, now I see it's time to join Hop Harrigan, but I'll be back in a few moments with more to tell you. So don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Suspended in the night sky over Yucatan, a full moon casts a pale, silvery light on the tropical forest, stretching for endless miles in all directions like a smooth, glistening carpet. But there is a shadow in this vast expanse, a ghostly oasis where the trees are halted in their relentless march. Here is the lost city of Sochil. Centuries ago, the cradle of a magnificent civilization, now a tomb. Only the temple of the ancient god Kumakan retains its splendor, rising in solitary might over the desolate scene. At its base, lost in the shadows, stand three dwarfed figures, Hop, Tank, and young Christopher Cross, seemingly frozen in an attitude of awe, not unmixed with fear. For at this very moment, a strange sound echoes from the temple, a mighty sound that shatters the stillness of the night. And at Hop's stairs at the massive stone monument, the superstitious words of an ignorant native flash through his mind.
It's the voice. The voice of Kumakan.
Stop it, Johnny. Let's get out of here.
No, but Hop. Wait a second.
That's all. Show's over. What are you talking about? Maybe it's just beginning. Come on, let's make tracks.
Take it easy, will you? Hop, are you deaf? Did you hear that noise?
We're still alive, aren't we? Yeah, but I don't know for how long. Please, Hop.
For the last time, there's nothing to be afraid of. Now relax, will you?
Hop.
Yes, Chris.
Do you know what that sound was?
No, I don't.
You said something.
What?
Just after we heard it, you said something about a voice.
Oh. Oh, yes.
Then you do know what it is?
What, for Pete's sake? Hey, it's nothing. I've been made of superstition. Doesn't mean a thing.
You're shying away from something, pal. Out with it.
Jack, I'm telling you, it's...
You ain't telling me. That's just the trouble. I ain't hanging around no place unless I know what the score is.
Oh, all right. You remember the native in Valladolid, the one who gave it to Peter?
Yeah.
He warned me against coming here. He said something about an ancient Mayan god called Kumakan.
Kumakan?
You ever hear of it, Chris?
Yes, my father told me about Kumakan. He's the god of sacrifice.
All right, so what did the native say?
He said he was here in Sochil one night, and he heard that strange sound. He said it was the voice of Kumakan.
Oh, he did, huh?
And he said he saw blood on the ancient sacrificial altar. It was ridiculous, of course.
Not to me, it ain't. Hey, Papita! Papita!
Tank!
Papita, come here, you old flea-bitten bag of bones.
Tank, what's the idea? Why are you calling your gun?
We're getting out of here, that's why.
Now, listen, Tank.
Maybe you think altars with blood on them and voices that come out of no place are funny. I don't.
Oh, you're acting like a child. Look at Chris. You don't see him wanting to run, do you?
Chris, look me straight in the eye.
Yes, Tank?
Can you tell me, honest and true, that you ain't scared?
Well...
Come on, honest and true.
I am scared, kind of. But my dad always told me there was a straight answer for everything that happened. That before I let myself get panicky, I should stop and think, try to find out why.
There you are, Tank. You should do the same before you start running off half-cut.
All right, then. Tell me, what made that noise?
There's only one way to find out.
How?
It came from the top of the temple, didn't it?
Yeah.
The steps leading up to the top are directly in front of us. Let's go.
Oh, no, Hop. Look here.
You want to find out what caused the noise, don't you?
Yeah, but it's awful dark. Why don't we wait till morning?
We don't have to. The moon's bright. We can see well enough.
Hop, I don't... Pepita, we can't leave Pepita down here alone. You remember what the old geezer said. We got to take care of her.
Okay, then Chris and I'll go up. You stay here.
Alone?
Pepita will keep you company.
Okay. If you guys want to ask for trouble, I'm with you. But if we get in touch, don't say I didn't warn you.
So, with slow, reluctant footsteps, Tank follows Hop and Chris as they walk to the base of the massive stone temple. And after a momentary pause, they begin the lengthy ascent.
Chris, didn't you hear that noise when you were here before?
No, never.
It's funny. I don't see nothing funny about it.
Well, what did your father say about Kumakan?
Oh, well, he was one of the Mayan gods, and whenever there was trouble, they'd sacrifice somebody to him.
Mm. Nice people. I don't think. What's that?
What?
Don't you hear?
That? Just a loose stone rolling down the steps.
Sure?
Tank, I knocked it loose myself.
Oh.
Well, why aren't you more careful? You hurt yourself if you don't watch your step.
I'm sorry, Tank.
Besides, you're scaring Tank to death. Come on.
Gosh, how much farther are we going to climb? I can use an oxygen mask already.
Still a long stretch ahead of us. Take it slow and easy.
Look at the forest. We're above it now. You can see for miles and miles.
It looks like an ocean of silver the way the moon hits the tops of the trees.
Awful spooky, if you ask me.
Oh, go on, Tank. Your imagination is working overtime.
Yeah. You notice how quiet everything is? No birds or nothing. We're all alone.
Of course we are.
Oh, I don't like it. Oh, my gosh.
Easy, Tank.
Easy. What's that?
Pepita.
She must be lonesome.
You sure it's Pepita?
Positive. Now, will you please cut the kidding?
Kidding, Pepita? I'm sweating bullets.
We're almost up to the platform of the altar. Could we rest there for a minute? I'm getting a little winded.
Oh, sure thing, Chris. We'll take time out, then hit for the top. That is, if Tank doesn't hear any more ghosts or donkeys.
All right, laugh. But I smell trouble, and I got butterflies in my stomach. I ain't going to feel right till we shake this place for good.
I'll forget it. Now, what's this last step?
All right.
Okay, now let's take a breather.
Hey, what's that?
Oh, not again, Tank.
Look, I'm only asking a question.
That's the altar.
Oh, we're all in. The people were sacrificed?
That's right.
Come on, let's have a look at it.
Maybe we shouldn't.
It's only a stone slab, Tank. It won't bite you.
The people who were sacrificed were tied down in the slab, and the high priest stood in back of them. He stood behind here.
Hey, watch your step, Chris. It's dark back there. Chris. Chris, what's the matter?
The altar. Oh, Hop, look!
Eyes wide with horror, Chris points a trembling finger at the stone altar, gleaming in the moonlight. An ugly, dark stain spreads wide over the smooth stone, flows over the side, and slowly drips to the floor in a spidery red stream.
Gang, you won't want to miss the climax of today's episode, so stand by. Well, fellas and girls, here I am back with more information which is important to all of you. Nearly all the accidents I told you about at the beginning of the program happened to students in ships being flown from isolated fields and from small airports where the operator was not aware of what was going on. Very rarely were the accidents at airports where the student was known or the operator able to spot the illegal passenger flying. A few of the students met their fate trying to get into or out of the way fields where they had gone to pick up their passengers. No one knows how many have gotten away with this without being caught, but the stupid part of it is that many of these students had almost enough hours logged to get their own private license, but they threw it all away because they couldn't wait a few more hours. An attempt has been made to find out just why these students insist upon doing this highly dangerous and illegal sort of thing time after time. 10 students, who had somehow or other lived through nasty crashes with their passengers, were quizzed by the examining board. And the answers were all alike. And a composite of them would sound something like this. Yes, I knew it was illegal and I shouldn't have done it, but it seemed okay, for I'd had about 15 hours of solo and had made about 50 landings. Well, to learn whatever possessed the passengers to fly with these student pilots, 10 of them were questioned. 10 who were lucky enough to have come out of a student pilot crash alive. In general, they were in complete ignorance of their having flown illegally. So keep this in mind, gang. Those of you who hold student pilot certificates, even those of you who have soloed, in no way are you yet entitled to fly with anyone who is not a duly licensed private pilot or an instructor. Obey all the rules to the letter, and always remember America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Climbing the long flight of steps leading to the top of the temple to find the answer to the strange and terrifying noise they had heard, Pop, Tank, and Chris reached the platform halfway up, where they discovered the sacrificial altar. But when Chris steps forward to examine it, he makes a horrible discovery. The stone slab is covered with blood.
So, it's all a big laugh. It's ridiculous, you say. So what do you call that, Sherlock?
Relax, Tank.
You can stand there and tell me to relax when I see blood with my own eyes?
There's a logical explanation for it, I'm sure there is.
Well, I ain't hanging around to find out.
Oh, wait, Tank.
Wait, nothing. I'm going back.
But,
down.
Tank!
I'll see you later. I hope.
It is blood, isn't it, Hot?
Yes.
How do you think it got there?
I wish I knew.
This is just like that native said.
I still don't believe it.
What do we do now? Keep going up?
No, I don't think so.
I'm not afraid.
I know you're not, but Tank's sort of taken the play out of our hands. I'd rather we weren't split up.
Then we're going back down?
Yeah. We'll visit the top in the morning.
With a last puzzled look at the blood-stained altar, Hawk turns and leads the way slowly and carefully down the broken temple steps to the ground. There, he and Chris find Tank waiting with Pepita, the donkey, her pack reloaded, ready for the trail.
Well, I'm sure glad to see you got some sense and came down. Pepita's all set. We can shove off.
We're not going anywhere, Tank. Unstrap that pack.
Oh, for Pete's sake, wise up, will you? Wasn't that blood enough for
Listen,
you?
Listen, Tank, we've got a job to do here. We've got to photograph that mural, and blood or no blood, ghost or no ghost, we're staying.
Well, what good are pictures if we ain't alive to deliver?
That's right. We've got to finish the job. My father died to get that cigarette to Washington. We can't let him down now.
Yeah, I know, kid, but look at that temple. Take a good look. It's got trouble written all over it. Just look at it. Look at it.
Oh, my gosh, no. No, it can't be.
Hop, tell me I'm nuts. Tell me I'm seeing things.
No. No, Tank, you're not. It's a man, all right. A man with horns.
So, for the second time in the space of a few minutes, Hop, Tank, and Chris are faced with a mysterious, blood-chilling sight. For high on the peak of the temple, clearly outlined in the moonlight, they see a head with two long, curling horns extending from it. Gang, there's more mystery and excitement in our next episode, so don't fail to listen. Tune in and fly with Pop Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time. Same mutual station. Pop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.